It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on? It's late. It's past my bedtime. What happened? I'm not quite sure. I'm a little bit more under the weather, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, than usual. So, was there a Monday Night Football game? Did something happen?
Yeah, I know you watched it, so... We'll move right past that point because we know that, yes, we're recording a little later than we normally do. So if there are any screw-ups here, it's going to be clearly the sleep, I'm going to say, or something.
Right.
Or how we normally are at the end of a Packer game. So anyhow, we'll say that first thing is you can follow the podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, both on Twitter. And Aaron, where do people find you?
Hey, I recovered at Chatter Talk, by the way.
Fantastic.
I got it back. They didn't take it away from me. Yeah, freedom of speech. Other words. Yay. I got it back. I fought it. I fought the law, and the law won, and I retained all 300 of my followers. It's so great.
Oh, yes, John. Fabulous. I'm happy for you, Aaron. Of course, you can also find our stuff. We post it at scottyjohnny.com. We also have a Facebook page. And, of course, you can find us on Podbean, where we do host everything. And we're, of course, available on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Anywhere that you find podcasts, you can find us. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download, and make sure that you share us with all your friends and family. But as we get started here, we're going to move everything on and get started with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
Aaron, obviously the main event today is going to be the Packers. And this was quite a game. The Packers led for 0 minutes and 0 seconds of this game, winning it on... Yeah, they won on the Mason Crosby field goal at the very end. 2 seconds left when they snapped the ball, and then Mason puts it up and threw on the shortest field goal he kicked of the night, giving the Packers the very, very tight win in a home game, putting them to 3-0 in the division. Fantastic game this week in several respects, and terrible in many other. The Packers really shot themselves in the foot the entire game.
They had zero toes left at the end of the game. I was going to say, you said it was such a great game. It was only such a great game because the Packers had the winning score at the end. Otherwise, that game was crap. Like, it was the game started off terrible. It was just terrible from the get-go, and I'm still not sure how the Packers won that one. And go ahead, John. I'll let you do your part, and then I'll fill in after that.
Well, the biggest thing is they start off flea flicker trick play to get a 66-yard gain, which led to a field goal. One deep pass that led to eventually a touchdown, getting the Lions their 10-point lead to start things off in the first quarter. That's how the first quarter ended. And then the Packers had a drive that ended in an Aaron Jones fumble. I forget exactly how far in there, but they were in field goal range. They were at like the 30 or so, I think. When he fumbles the ball forward into the Lions' hands. Then there's also the pick later on. It's caught at like the 2-yard line. I mean, that's two. I mean, figure this. Also, then there's the fumble on the punt. So it's three big turnovers there where we gave the Lions a couple plays where they were already almost in field goal position. That was three turnovers. Each of them led to field goals. Two of which were plays that the Packers were in field goal range when it occurred. That's essentially a 15-point swing right there, which is not something you can blame on the refs, not something you can blame on anything other than the Packers. Screwed up a lot.
Did you count Aaron Jones dropping the touchdown pass in that one too?
No, because that one eventually did lead to – that one led to a touchdown because that was Jamal Williams got the touchdown later. So at least, I mean, yeah, that was a terrible play. That was Aaron Rodgers throwing three touchdowns to get one touchdown because he was like he throws the one to Aaron Jones, hits him in the hands, nothing. Throws the one to Jimmy Graham, hits him in the hands, nothing. And then
to a field goal, right?
No, that's the one where Jamal Williams on the little jet sweep type pass play. All right.
I was disjointed on that whole one. Like there was so,
they were about to kick a field goal. Remember, but then the Lions had 12 guys on the field with the snap imminent. So we got a first down.
That was we'll argue about some stuff later, but that was a legitimate penalty.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about that. The Packers were not the only stupid team on the field from time to time out there. The couple questionable calls, and granted, this is the first time this year I've seen them by and large favor the Packers. There was the not fumble. It was the one that was a pass to Kerryon Johnson that really looked like he caught it and then tried to tuck it away and fumbled it. But they called it an incomplete pass, saying he never had control. I was a bit surprised by that, but not, I don't think much about it.
There was that angle where they showed him from the front side where he like caught it with the one hand and just like slid down his body, and his other hand never really had control of it. And it was, that was very plausible. Like that could be argued in court. Like, his other hand never had it.
Minor. I'll let that. But yeah. Minor. Well, the Lions moved on from that because they had plenty of other things to complain about today. And I'll say this, the first two big ones that are being brought up and brought up over and over again are that Trey Flowers had two separate plays where he was called for illegal use of the hands to the face against Bakhtiari. Now, the first one, they keep showing you the back half of it, and the couple times when they do show you the first half, it's very clear that Flowers, first off, in his motion to try to get Bakhtiari's hands off of him on the pass block, also swats across his face mask. You can see Bakhtiari's head move. It's very obvious on that one if you just keep watching it.
Well, the first one too, he swats his face mask at the beginning, then he grabs his shoulder and pushes it up. And I'm convinced that he had those bright blue gloves on. And like when you watch it, because of the gloves are so bright, like his hands stick out. And when he's pushing his shoulder pads up, he's pushing them up past his face mask, but outside of it. So the referee sees a hand way up in the air. And Bakhtiari, who's doing a number one Academy Award winning job, is rocking his head way back. Well, like he should. He should be doing that as an offensive lineman. To spur on that penalty. And then towards the end, he lets go and he smokes his head again. That's the first penalty. The second penalty, though, that's... I
never got a full shot of it because they only ever showed us the back half of that play. They never showed us him coming off the line, so I don't know.
I kept rewinding. I rewound it a couple times, much to the chagrin of my father-in-law, who's in town for a visit, and my wife, who's like, who cares? And I went back a couple times. I looked at it, and he smokes his head up top on the front, and then. But that's not when the flag is thrown. The flag is thrown like a good 3 seconds after that, so it's not the beginning of the play. It's probably towards the end of the play. Like I said, those bright blue gloves, though, it makes his hands look like they're up in his face from where the umpire would be on the field. So he's got a way up there, and then towards the end of the first penalty, at least. He smokes Bakhtiari's head on the way off. And plus, Bakhtiari's got his head rocked way back like he is getting his helmet pushed up in the air, too. So, I mean, there's a little bit of acting there, too, on top of it.
Well, and to be clear, the rule does include any hands to the neck area as well.
But his hands weren't in the neck area. They were on his shoulder pads. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be a total cheesehead and go, no. Oh, that was a complete penalty, and I don't know why anybody's complaining. I can see why people would complain because, we're the same two guys that last year were sitting here going, I don't know why Clay Matthews got called for roughing the passer.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't play this game. We can't sit here and play this game like, Oh, well, that was definitely a penalty. No, that was very questionable. It was extremely questionable on the second one, too.
The second one is the one that I'll say is questionable. The first one, he clearly hit him across the head.
The first, yeah, it was. Yeah. But, I mean, it was – and still at the same time, it was just like it can go both ways. And it's much more – I think in this and we talked about this during the pre-show is that – this is going to be the death of the NFL. This is what's going to lead to a replay of every single play.
No,
is stuff like this. It's the referees don't know what to do anymore because they're in such a pinch because there's HD TV and everyone can see a blade of grass flicker. And if they get anything wrong, they're going to go to hell. You know, they're gonna be fired, or they're gonna get admonished on social media. So instead, they just call every play. They just call every penalty, everything. Really?
They don't.
Hey, we've asked for this. And you know what? Booger McFarland was asking for it during the play-by-play tonight.
Which is dumb. That was a terrible broadcast.
He wants more. Stoppage. You know, if you want more stoppage, you want every single play to be right. Well, this is what's gonna happen. NFL football games are gonna be 4 hours long. And there's going to be a 30-second review at the end of every single play.
And I generally like Booger McFarland.
Because this is what you want. Because this is what you want. Because they're all a bunch of whiny crybabies. Because you want the right answers all the time. They're like, Booger, well, it's ruining the game. Back in the 70s, how many damn plays were lost? How many penalties were just – no, nobody kept track. It just happened.
And I mean, I was saying, I like Booger McFarland, but I think he's way off base on this one.
But that's why I said the first Flowers play was I will side with Detroit fans and say that was garbage. Like that was I can see why. And the only reason why I said it is because I think those bright blue gloves that he had makes it look stand out. Like when he's pushing up against there and it looked like it was in his helmet, plus back the area, his hand rocked back. The second one, that one was, I don't know. But
I don't know about the second one. The first one, I think, was a clear penalty.
And then the one that they were arguing about the pass interference down on the left side, shut up.
Yeah, that one's – and here's the thing. If you're on Packers Twitter, everyone's like, that's not a penalty. And no, tell exactly. me another tell me another fan base that does that.
That hand that he hit him across the chest with, that he reached up and hit the ball out of the air.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the one where not the pass interference. Yeah, that one.
Either way, the Redmond pass interference was garbage. Like, you can take that and shove that up your A. And then.
But they didn't call that.
Then moving along.
Yeah, no, the one, though, that was tough was also the. It was the unnecessary roughness, it was the illegal hit to the head that put Geronimo Allison out of the game. That play was entirely unintentional. Everybody pointed that out, and I said on Twitter, you could just look at it. Just all of the people who cover the Packers are like, that's not a penalty. Packers got away with one there. We got lucky because that's not a penalty. He's very clearly just sliding to try to catch the ball and happens to clip Geronimo. It was a bad call.
That one was, yeah.
We can use a couple bad calls our way this year because nothing has been pass interference against a Packers wide receiver yet. It feels like. That's not true, obviously. It's hyperbole. No. But I mean, the number of other odd plays here, too, that just – yeah. And so, yeah. So I don't feel as bad about that. I mean –
We did get that really bad pass interference call against Dalvin Cook in the Vikings game, though.
I'm trying to even remember that one now.
The one where Dalvin Cook cut in and it's just basically he was just doing an old-fashioned screenplay. But anyways, so taking away from everything else was I did say this. Like I said, my father-in-law is in town, and he always enjoys my takes on the Packers and whatnot. And he was asking about Jamal Williams early up, and I said it's good to have him back, and it was really good to have him back today because Aaron Jones, after having his career day in Dallas, back home in Texas, he kind of stunk up the joint tonight, and lucky for us, we had Jamal Williams back, who I think, and people fight me on this one, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are not that much different, and they are pretty much equally talented, I would have to say. Jones has a little bit more pop to his game. Everybody has always said that, but Jamal Williams is a bigger grinder, and Jamal Williams made a couple of really big plays in this game. The touchdown, the little shovel pass touchdown just before the half, that was a great play by him because he was dead to rights in the backfield, but he made a couple of people miss, and he did a couple quick little moves, one stiff arm, and he was in. Also, right after the half, he came out and what was that, a 46-yard run right up the middle? I mean, that was
nice one.
He looked great. Like, welcome back, Jamal Williams. And,
he had 14 carries for 104 yards along a 45, one receiving touchdown. He also ended with, four catches for 32 yards and the touchdown. Yeah, so that was a very good game.
And that comes, you know, they, and like I said, it's, and a lot of that is because Aaron Jones was just not there tonight. And
this is great.
Thank God.
So Aaron Rodgers was 24 of 39 with a crazy number of drops too out there. Just guys who should have had balls. 283 yards, two touchdowns and one pick, sacked once. His rating is 90.0, but his QBR, which is the most worthless stat, 41.9, meaning he played a below average game of quarterback today. Matthew Stafford was worse. He was 37.7 on QBR, which is garbage. It's because his big plays were up front. He did kind of what the Packers have been doing the past couple days, past couple weeks. He had big plays early. They had scripted things out. They got out ahead early, and then they had to figure out the defense as they went once they were past the script. And it worked better for the Packers after they got through their first 25 plays, but you know, their first one went for 66 yards. So, yeah, Stafford sacked three times. The Smiths had another great game in this one. Even Fackrell kind of showed up today, so that was nice here and there.
Much to your chagrin.
I don't care. If he's going to play, he may as well play well.
Well, yeah.
I'd like to see us replace him with somebody better than him, but if we don't have somebody better than him, whatever. Who else? I'm trying to think. MVS got hurt for a period here today and came back and had a really nice deep ball catch that really set up things in the second half there as well. Right. Aaron looked like he had pretty good touch, but he had a couple plays where he did not put the ball well. That pass to Allison that actually put him out of the game, that ball should have been higher and should have gotten him up out of the way. I mean, it should have been a higher pass, so they would have just been a normal tackle. But it made him go down kind of head low, and they just kind of ran into each other that way. I think other than that, though, he had some really good – like the pass to MVS and then the other pass to Lazard, those two passes were just dead on. It was right. Crazy how good those were.
Hey, and you and that Allison bit, that was – no, that's not on anybody. That was – just happenstance. I mean, it once again, HD culture, we can watch this stuff at 500 frames per second and just slow this down to the nth degree. Like, throw it high, throw it low, it doesn't matter. Like, when he's releasing that ball, that cornerback's still 10 yards away from the play. That's not on him. But the threading it into that touchdown pass, so Lizard Man was yes. That was unreal. That was an unbelievable throw.
The one throw on the run to Mercedes Lewis as well was incredible.
Oh, that one too, yeah. And the thing is, the play before too was Lazard dropped one. Yeah. What happened on that play? Just
it was a little out in front, and Lazard was trying to make the play over the cornerback, and he had to get his hands kind of over away from his body over the cornerback's head. And
that was cut.
Kind of ended getting up in the way.
Right, and I was cussing at the TV. I was like, this is what happens when you have a fifth-string player out there trying to catch balls. Is they're not going to catch these balls because they don't have – I was literally cussing and swearing at the TV. And the next play, it pans over, the pass goes up, and I'm like, here he's going to drop one again. And then he caught it. And I was like, all right, well, fair enough to you, Mr. Lizard. Good job. Like, I was like,
entirely honest.
Then they slow it down. I'm like, oh my God, that was a hell of a pass and a catch. Like, that's stuff that him and Greg Jennings used to do. Like, I haven't seen that kind of throw in a long time. That was a 6-inch window pass. And then I went and added a Lizard to my fantasy football team, because if they're going to get it figured out, I don't know who else is going to catch passes, because outside MVS with that one catch and being hurt, nobody else really showed up today. Although Graham had a good catch at the end after, you know, dropping numerous passes throughout the game.
So. Yeah, he dropped a couple. I think he had two nice catches, though, that were all right.
He should have caught that touchdown pass. That was stupid that he didn't catch it.
Yeah, there thankfully no it didn't cost us anything. Graham, 17 yards on two catches, 5 targets. So, right. Yeah, 2 catches. He did all right. That's not what you expect from him. He got out caught by Mercedes Lewis, 2 catches for 50 yards. And they were big plays, right, too. Long of 25, so it also means a short of 25. 2 25-yard receptions for Mercedes Lewis. Yeah.
I mean, I was at the beginning of the game, the Packers defense did look really good, though. Like, they were a little shell-shocked up front. And in the end, they only ended up giving up 13 points in the first half, which is okay in the NFL. And the Packers got back into it. And despite some really bad circumstances, especially with the Shepherd muff punt, and then right after that, the kickoff with the holding penalty that put him back towards the end zone, and various other penalties, and then the interception return off the fluke that bounced off Shepherd's face mask. Like, that defense held Matt Prater to 5 field goals, and Matt Prater's no joke. Like, when that dude's on, he is on. He is one of the best kickers in the NFL. Yep. Tucker's the only automatic kicker left in the league anymore out in Baltimore, but Prater's right there. And so that defense really held up well after taking an initial shot to the mouth right off the bat. And I was happy to see the Smiths closing in, and a lot of good plays. Did we get a turnover at all in the game? I don't think we did.
No. 3 sacks, no turnovers. Now, Stafford ended with 265 yards, but he had like 160 at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
So after that, they really did lock in on him and really started to find ways to make sure that they had the receivers covered and to stay in better position there. Kevin King had a rough first quarter there, a couple bad plays, but then ended up rounding out pretty well in the second half, almost had a pick. What could have been called a pass interference in the offense, because he's in position to make a play, and Galladay came straight through him and just knocked it away, but whatever. They're not going to call that almost ever. They've called it once or twice this year, I've seen, but you're not going to be upset about not getting an offensive pass interference. They don't call that much.
I do enjoy that after all this foo-for-ah about the pass interference reviewable plays, that it's gone nowhere really quick. And as a matter of fact, they're just not throwing the red flags anymore because they just won't get overturned. And refereeing is abysmal at best this year, but
that's true. That's true, but in the most fair way of putting this is it is bad all around. It's been bad in a lot of different games, and you know it's going to be bad all over here, I think, at this point. But at the same time, it's kind of equally bad. Like, the Packers have had some terrible calls going against them this year, and we got a couple this game. We definitely did get a couple we should not have gotten this game, but I guess, you know, maybe it rounds out a little bit here and there. So, I mean, you and I didn't spend a lot of time. We talked about some bad calls against the Packers earlier, but you and I have never blamed the refs for costing a Packers a game this year. That Eagles game had a couple terrible calls on pass interference stuff, but we didn't blame the refs because, I mean, the Packers lost those games, or that game. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I guess.
Oh, no, they definitely lost the Philadelphia game. They 100% lost that game. I blame that 100% on the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, there were bad calls in it, but that's not. I mean, I don't think the Packers deserve to win that game anyhow. They should have won that game. I'll say that. They did not deserve to win that game, though. That's one they let go. You know, they should not have let it get away.
I was already preparing the speech for this podcast tonight after the game saying about how the Packers should have won this game about 50-14, but with all the mistakes they made, it was ridiculous. Yeah. The Packers won in spite of themselves tonight, but
yeah. This is one they just kind of pulled out because they did not play well. They were not particularly disciplined on offense. I mean, and also we were playing without our, well, I guess whatever you, how you want to frame it, at least two of our top three wide receivers were gone early.
You know, at one point we were missing all three of our top three wide receivers.
Yeah, MVS was out for a bit too. So we were throwing like Kumaro and Shepard and Lazard, and you know, then that's the rest of the team. That was it. That was all that was out there.
Right. And I think you did bring this up during pregame, and I did think about this one. Is that so the Packers did not lead this game at all at any point until there's double zeros on the clock, just like when Rodgers threw the Hail Mary in Detroit. Because remember, that play was also a questionable defensive face mask call that led to an untimed down at the end of the fourth quarter, and then it was 61-yard Hail Mary.
It's only questionable if you're a fan. Right. That one was only questionable if you're a fan. The ones today, they're at least two of them. One of them is outright just garbage, and the other one, I don't know, and I didn't see enough to be able to say anything about it. And if you say you didn't see anything, then I'm going to have to believe you on that because, I don't know. Right. I didn't see enough of it.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, this one had two ones that were iffy. That other one, the Hail Mary play, was it Detroit? What are they calling it? There's some sort of miracle play there, whatever it is. Motown miracle. That one, I mean, that was legitimate. He grabbed and twisted his face mask. So.
Yeah, no, that was,
But
absolutely. I only say it's questionable because it's on the eyes of the referee at the time. So I know it was a real call.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just trying not to be a Homer Packer fan at the same time.
But. No, I try to as well because I mean like you said, like that first one, we're saying it out loud, with that helmet to helmet hit, and we're just like, that's not a penalty. That shouldn't have been a penalty. That's a terrible call. That benefits us, but it's a terrible call. And you know, Pukowski's on there. There were Badger Noonan. I think Nagler might have been on it too. Everyone's like, yeah, that's not the right call.
Right. No, I was just happy that we got 15 yards for losing Allison. So just kind of like when you lose a player in free agency, you get a compensatory draft pick. Like, that's what it was like. Oh, great. We're down to Kumaro as our number one now. Thanks for the 15 yards, though. Appreciate it. Like, that was my take on it. Like, you could see that guy was not trying to hit him in the head, and it was just completely accidental. But at the same time, I was like, I'll take the 15 yards because we're down to nobody. We're going to start trotting out Bakhtiari at the slot here pretty quick.
That'd be interesting.
He looked, by the way, on that interception return, Bakhtiari looked pretty – he stopped the touchdown. He didn't make the tackle. MVS ended up making the tackle off the interception that came off of Shepard's face mask. But it was Bakhtiari that caught him about 50 yards downfield. Yeah. And then MVS cleaned it up. So Bakhtiari, nice work, young man. That was a long run for you.
In terms of total penalties today and everything, the penalty yardage, Detroit had 50 yards of penalties and the Packers had 48.
There wasn't a lot of penalties. As a matter of fact,
there were 14 total penalties in this game that were accepted at least.
The first penalty was like halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, there were none in the first quarter. Completely clean first quarter, which is it went by so fast. It was crazy. Here is the fun part though that will show something. The Packers led in every single first down hit. So it's 22 first downs to 13. Packers led that. 13 passing to 10 passing. 4 running to 3 running, then 5 by penalty, 0 by penalty. So, yeah, that's rough. Packers only 4 of 12 on third down efficiency. That's not particularly great at this point in the season. It's getting better. The Packers massively outplayed them in terms of total yards. It was 447 to 299. Total drives just 10 to 11. So, yeah, a lot of things look like the Packers just statistically were slightly better than the Lions today.
Well, you said how many total yards did Detroit have? 299? They had like one.
Yeah, they had 299 total yards.
How many total yards did they have in the first quarter?
It was quite like a bit because
they had like almost 170 in the first quarter, right?
Yeah, I think it was something like that because they had.
They had 120 over the course of the rest of the game.
So their first drive was 69 yards. Their second drive was 74 yards. And that's what they had at the end of the first quarter because Lions had the ball again and had moved, several more yards. So, yeah, they had like 170 or so total yards in the first quarter and then ended with 299. Packers had 447. So, I mean, the Packers move the ball much better. But, yeah, Lions defense, I'll give them this. That defense is very good. That front four played very well. And it allowed them to keep that back four there. But in the second half, they couldn't get pressure. They got one sack on Rodgers. But they were not getting consistent pressure on him. He was having enough time to get out there. I mean, the big problem was just that he's throwing to, like, three undrafted players.
Right.
So it's like, what are you going to do? Shepard, wow, is not the answer in the punt return game or the kick return game. Like
I did notice that he did fair catch every single punt for the rest of the game, by the way.
The one that he muffed was terrible. Normal muff goes like through the bread basket, right?
Right.
This one he's trying to catch it over his head because he's misjudged that ball.
He overran it, and the problem was that he should have, when you overrun it and you have to catch it like that, then that's when you do the last second fair catch. That was he was just So you could tell from there on out that somebody must have grabbed him on the sideline and said, from here on out, you're going to fair catch every single punt from here on out. Because I don't think he didn't fair catch another punt from there on out.
No, that's true. He didn't. He fair caught everything. Here's the thing on that play that caught me, made me more upset, is if you're watching it, they started off in a regular formation. And then they backed out and put two guys on each of the gunners. So the gunners were doubled. Well, I was like, well, they're going for the big return here. We're trying to keep the gunner from getting anywhere downfield. Mm-hmm. But then the gunner on the defensive left just went straight down the field. There's two guys there, and they let him get a clean release off the line. Mm-hmm. The guy on the defensive right, he didn't go anywhere. I mean, he was just held up there, and there's all sorts of room. Punt went to the defensive left. That one gunner was just completely unblocked and running down the field, and he was there as he caught the ball. That was, first off, poor play on the guys, and I'll have to go back and look to see who they were, but there's terrible play by the guys letting the gunner just release downfield because that can't happen. So that's the other thing that comes up on that punt is that, you know, his teammates didn't help him out.
Hot special teams talk right there, John.
Ah, it was terrible. It made me mad. It's like Zook was back.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. That was a Ron Zook kind of play. It's okay to catch the ball like that, but you got a fair catch. I mean, if you're running up like that, you know you've underjudged it. Quick throw your hand up at the end
before you try to do that. You know. And they were – the Lions, clearly, they had a plan that my favorite, Prater's going to prate. He was kicking it high and short because they were like, if we kick it to you at the 10, we know Shepard can't return it to the 25 because he never did. And a couple times, he danced so much trying to find a big hole rather than just being decisive and taking off. He set up that holding. I mean, that's in part on him.
I mean, who's a regular returner? I don't even know at this point.
I figured we'd know right about there. We've been putting him back there the last couple of weeks. Right. We used to have, you know, Trevor Davis, who, you know, starting to miss him now more and more because Shepard, he's not our long-term answer back there unless he starts figuring things out.
If nothing else, for just for wide receiver depth. So
yeah.
What was the circumstances that we traded Trevor Davis? Like, he fumbled the ball or something? I don't know.
I don't know. A lot of people didn't like him because they said he was a preseason guy who made plays and then disappeared during the season and got hurt too much.
I'd take him right now.
Yeah.
Over what everything else we have. Like, I'm starting to question that decision by the front office management right about now.
I was kind of hoping for Davis over Shepard, but, you know, whatever it is. It's too late now. He had a big play, a big rushing touchdown for the Raiders a couple of weeks back. So
I think just last weekend. But, I mean, it's still better than nothing because that's what – at one point tonight when MVS was not back on the field and obviously getting a cortisone shot out back, and then Allison left – we were down to our fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers.
Yeah.
And not even the fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers coming out of training camp. Because if you get rid of Trevor Davis was number four. So actually we're with our fifth, sixth, and seventh wide receivers.
Yeah.
Think about that for a half second. Think about that. We had receivers that are borderline could have been cut in the preseason. I mean, Shepard, which one was it? Was it Shepard Lazard that was actually cut by the Packers and then brought back afterwards?
Ooh, I think it was Lazard because I think they kept Shepard.
Lazard was actually cut by the Packers and then brought back for practice squad. And then when after EQ went down, he made the roster.
I mean, if that's how it went. It went something like that. Somebody else got hurt and they brought him on, yeah.
Right. I mean, Lazard could have been on another team by now. And he was the hero of the day. I mean, for the first time in a long time, since like Brett Favre era, this wide receiver group is pathetic at best. Like, yeah, no, I mean, they made some big plays tonight, but I mean, that's what we're rolling out. And then we're trying to take shots at Thielen and Diggs or Robinson and whoever else Chicago has or any other team. No, Packer fans have no ability to take shots at other people's wide receivers because we actually probably have the worst group of wide receivers right now in the NFL.
Market yeah, job. I'd have to look deeper yeah, than that to figure Dolphins. It out.
Dolphins. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. You got Devontae Parker. Sorry, I think your little brother, maybe my little brother.
The sorrowful sister to the poor.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So.
And if any of them got good, they'd have to trade them.
I mean, this is not taking a shot at, you know, how well they played tonight. But, I mean, God, our receiving corps is poor. Like, it's bad.
If nothing else, it's very young. I mean, MVS is a second-year player. EQ, who's hurt, is a second-year player. Shepard and Lazard are first-year players. Kumerow, who everybody loves, never done anything particularly. No, so,
no, he was cut off two practice squads before the Packers picked him up. And I'm sick and tired of people comparing him to Jordy Nelson. No, he is. No. Just because he's white, he's not Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson, coming out of college, was a bolt of lightning. He was fast as hell.
That's and a returner, too.
Jordy's straight line speed. Now, you could knock Jordy for his cutting ability. Yeah, he wasn't a juke dude, but that dude could flat out run. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why the post pattern was his best attribute, because he could just get behind everybody, you know? Comes from all those days running through the cornfields and canvas.
Yeah.
Trying to catch rabbits.
Yeah, I'm sure all of that's true. So, either way.
Well, that's probably more true than anything else we've said tonight, actually.
I don't know about that.
At Cheddar Talk, yes.
Catching rabbits, you don't need straight line speed. You need cutting speed.
Sorry, trying to catch antelope then. It was
there you go. Probably better.
They're on the plains, yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for a Packer talk for now. Packers actually, I'll say this, Stafford played very well in this game for at least the first half. He didn't kill them at any point in this game. The Packers are going to have to now go. They're going to play Oakland next.
Right.
And you should not overlook Oakland. I mean, they beat the Bears in, you know, weird ways, but they found a way to beat the Bears. They've got a couple of receivers. They got a good running back, and Derek Carr is no slouch. He's a decent quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they've got some confidence now.
Just like his brother was a really good quarterback too, except for the fact that the Texans just let him get killed for about 70 sacks a year for three straight years. And not only that, but weird anomaly. The Packers caught the Lions coming off a bye week, and now the Raiders are coming off a bye week too.
Yeah, that's a bad stretch. And the Packers will be coming off of Monday night to go into a game against a team coming off a bye. So we're coming short week against bye week team. So, yeah, that's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a rough match.
It's still a home game, though, too. But, the Raiders are a little bit more legitimate than people thought they were going to be. Everybody thought, you know, especially after the Antonio Brown thing and getting rid of Amari Cooper and everybody else, that they're going to be a joke team. And, well, they're not, you know.
No.
John Gruden is proving to be maybe a little bit better at his job than everyone wants to think he was. So.
Yeah, so at this point, they've got the Packers as a 6.5-point favorite. It is a home game, so they got that.
Yeah.
Man, the short week, it does hurt you, and it's going to at least hurt early because they're going to be able to script their stuff pretty well coming into this week. Packers are going to be in a short week. We're still going to be dealing with whether or not Geronimo can play. I mean, he got up right away and all that, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, he's got to get through the whole protocol, and he's got to be symptom-free before he can really start that. So who knows, and who knows if Adams is back yet. So it's going to be very dependent on those two. I would take the Raiders and the points if I were gambling on this, because I think it's going to be closer than that. I think I still pick the Packers because I think our defense is good enough to deal with that. I mean, the Raiders got the Bears in a London game, right? So I mean that changes some of it. They're going to have to come play at Lambeau. Packers are feeling pretty good about themselves, too. I mean, these are two confident teams right now. And I think it's going to be close. And I think it's going to be sloppy. I think the Packers win by, like, a field goal.
There's a word I want to use right now. And it starts with S and ends with it. And the other word is show.
Huh.
So the Packers now are on top of the division.
The suit show?
Yeah, suit show. There you go. Yeah, we'll go with suit show. Anyways, so the Packers and the Lions were the Lions were a half game behind the Packers going into the game tonight. Because they lost, they are now at the bottom of the division.
Yeah.
Behind the Bears, and due to the tie. And they're 2-2-1. The Packers are 5-1. The Packers haven't looked good. They haven't looked good. I mean, I couldn't have foreseen this. Like, I really would have thought it would be the other way around, that the Packers would be 2-2-1 or 1-3-1 or something like that at this point. So. That said, going into the Raiders game, so I really think that you could tell the Lions had spent their whole 2 weeks wanting to beat the Packers, and with, you know, just the division rivalry, Daryl Bevel, everything else, I think they wanted to come into Lambeau Field because they'd won the four previous games against the Packers. Like, in recent history, the Lions were the better team against Packers. So, that said, I don't know if the Raiders – now, John Gruden does have a Green Bay Packer history, but I don't think it's nah, – there's a lot of – I mean,
we are running out of time, Aaron. How about you pick something, man?
Oh, okay. So, I think the Raiders are going to beat the Packers 21-17. So, I think there was too much time, and the Packers are on a short week, and there's way too many injuries. And, yeah.
Okay.
I think that the Packers ran it out tonight. So, sorry. I know. We're after midnight now.
we've spent a lot of time here. I'm going to have to maybe do some artistic editing as we go through here, too. But the next thing that we do just need to get into, and now we're through our Packer coverage, is Badgers had a fantastic week this week. They took the Spartans out behind the woodshed this week, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
made me very happy. I don't like D'Antonio. I don't think that he. I think he's a very good coach. I won't say. I mean, like there's a couple different types of things. Like there's the sort of players where coaches where you're like, I don't think they're a good coach, and they annoy me. But I mean, like you can have like Pat Fitzgerald, who I think is a. And same here with D'Antonio. I think that he's a very good coach. I think he's a great defensive coach. And I don't like him. I think he makes a lot of dirty players. Fitzgerald doesn't make dirty players. I just think he's just overly like brash and self-righteous at times for a guy who doesn't really win big things.
I just assume that everybody at Michigan State is going to commit a felony at some point. Then it's pedophilia.
Just
prove me wrong.
I don't know. I just they're a dirty team. They hit dirty. They play dirty, and it's a culture there at this point. So I love watching Bucky take them out and beat them. Covered the spread badly. Beat them. Shut them out for the fourth shutout of the year. In this one too, Badgers get another defensive touchdown, which now means that the Badgers have scored four defensive touchdowns and surrendered four touchdowns. But the Badgers also have a safety. Plus, Northwestern went for two and didn't get it a couple times. So the Badgers have now scored 30 points and surrendered 29.
Very nice. I like that.
So that means that the Badgers are actually in the positive, on the defensive side of the ball. They have now scored more than they have surrendered just in their defense.
That's awesome.
Zach Bond is amazing. He drops back. He comes forward. He's there at the biggest moment of every game, it seems. Chris Orr, who, man, I love that guy. He's a high motor, fast linebacker who can blitz and cover, and he gets everywhere and tackles. I just love this defense. Wild Goose had the big play at the end to lock up the interception to make sure that they stayed a shutout game here, and that was fantastic to watch. They had just contributors over the field. Jack Cohn had a really good game. Like no joke, he is accurate in doing everything they need him to do. He goes back, and granted, he's got a clean pocket most of the game, and he gets the ball out. Michigan State was clearly just playing to stop Jonathan Taylor, and they held him to 80 yards and two touchdowns, plus a bunch more receiving. He had like 20 or some receiving yards, so he was over 100 total yards, and that's what counts for, you know, stopping him, I guess, is two touchdowns and 100 yards. But he still, we had Quintus Cephas, we had A.J. Pryor was involved in the big run, we had couple other plays to was it AJ Taylor and some of the other people were involved in the passing game. Danny Davis had a couple nice plays. Ferguson even had one or two nice first grabs that really helped the team out. So just a lot of contributors on that offense. Jack Cohn got the ball to a lot of different receivers. I love seeing Chanel run the ball. Who doesn't love a fullback just going out there and kicking tail, running a football? I think he had, was it just three or was it four first down runs? It was great to watch. This team's now ranked number six in the AP polls, and they get to go play Illinois in Champaign-Urbana next week. And I don't care what the spread is, the Badgers are going to kill them. I think they're going to cover whatever it is. I don't even care. I'm not even going to bother to look because they're just going to crush Illinois. I'm lying. I'm going to look. This is because it should be. Yeah. Let's see. 31.
Sorry,
favored by 31. They're going to cover 31 easily.
What, 31 is a spread?
That's a spread right now on Monday night, Tuesday morning.
I mean, yeah, but yeah.
Illinois, here's a fun stat for you. Illinois averages, but Illinois averages scoring 30.7 points a game. They average allowing 30.7 points a game.
These are the spreads why you don't bet college football. Because
they get huge.
It's like, but it could be a rainy day and they only win 28-0, and then you still lose on the spread. Though they would just completely dominate that, and there's five lightning delays and there's a snowstorm. That's an amazing spread. That's an Alabama spread.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. Illinois. I mean, they went out and played Michigan pretty hard for a bit this last week, but they're not going to do anything in Wisconsin. I mean, the run game in Wisconsin is just going to come through those guys. I mean, good on Lovie Smith. He's trying to make him more competitive. He can hang with Michigan for a bit, but I don't think they're going to get a chance to come out here and get a win against Wisconsin. So, and then we'll start talking about what it means the week after. But another good win for the Badgers in a game that I thought was going to be much closer than this. But Wisconsin walked all over them. And just beat them in every aspect of the game. So, very good game. Very good game for the Badgers.
Well, it's good to see. Anytime anyone beats up on Michigan State, that's well worth the time of day. So,
all right, we're going to wrap things up here the last little bit here with our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, the couple things to go over the last call. First off, the red-white scrimmage, which normally, I guess, in my mind, I would mean the spring game, but it does mean the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team scrimmage happened this last week. I don't know what the final score is, and I don't care. The only thing that stuck out to me this week is they did not shoot well, and that kind of worries me. I mean, I don't know if they were working on other stuff, but Reavers, he was an 0 for, like 0 for 8, an 0 for 4 from 3. So I was just like, what were we doing? And I didn't get to watch it. I'm just looking at box scores as they all came out and people talking about it. I don't know. It's a shooting team. The one big thing is, obviously, it looks like guard is starting to get some recruits, and I've complained about it before, but he's hit a couple big recruits in the last couple weeks. We won't see them this year. Also, the transfer from Ohio State, power forward, was told that he is going to have to wait another year. He was not granted his eligibility for this season, so he'll have to wait and play with next year's team. So, I don't know. Well, this team might be kind of a holdover team until getting ready for next year, so we'll see how that goes. In other Badger sports news, Badger women's hockey remains undefeated. They go to Ohio State. They take both games. Neither were close. I think it was 7-3 and like 10-1 or something like that. I forget the other score. But they won both easily against, I think, they're the 8th-ranked Buckeyes at this point. Also, men's hockey had a split over the weekend. They had the loss to Boston College, 10th-ranked Boston College in Boston. And then they went to Merrimack and destroyed Merrimack. I believe the final was 11-3. So, if anybody knows, if you've been to a Badger hockey game, if they get, was it 5 goals, everybody gets free ice cream at Culver's. It's not ice cream, it's frozen custard at Culver's. Yeah. So every time they get to 4, they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, we want more. And they always want, once they hit 5, they're just chanting ice cream, I think, or custard, but I mean, it's, or Culver's and stuff. So it's, they get very excited once they hit that 5 goal period, but I mean, they got to 11, and it wasn't a home game, so I don't know if it counts because you don't have the right ticket. But either way, nice to have a little bounce back. The problem is the Badgers men hockey team, they're going to go play UMD next week and this weekend here. So that's going to be a very rough one because they're the number one ranked UMD Bulldogs. Right. And you thought BC was tough. UMD is a better team. So
yeah.
Badgers are a young team. they're a tough team. They got a lot of talent who are freshmen and sophomores at this point. So this is going to be a good test. This is going to get to see what they can do in the next year or so and start building towards what they're going to be by the end of the year so they can get ready for the Big Ten season and start working. If they can, I mean, if they can win the Big Ten, they can get into the playoff and see what they can do then. So it's good to push yourselves, put yourself up against those old WCHA competitions and see what we can do with that, because I wouldn't expect much from them this weekend. Hopefully they can get some goal scoring down and make something happen here. Another great big Wisconsin news this weekend, though, too. Women's volleyball now on top of the Big Ten. They beat Minnesota.
Swept them.
Yeah, swept Minnesota. They have now beaten Minnesota and Nebraska.
25-16, 25-18, and 25-17?
Something like that. Yeah, they swept them in three straight. That's a fantastic thing. If you don't understand this, the Big Ten is by far and away the best women's volleyball conference. Penn State and Nebraska are the two. I mean, they are the Notre Dame, Michigan of women's volleyball. They're the two that just run away with this every year. So to beat Nebraska, and I believe they beat them in Nebraska, which is huge because that place sells out every game or every match and everything. And then beating Minnesota, who has been very good the last couple of years and was, I believe, number 5 coming in, and the Badgers were number 7.
Yeah, that was an upset for the Badgers, yeah.
Yeah, so big win for Badgers women there. So great work to see all of that. It's been fantastic to see. The other thing I'll say in my last bit here on our last call is Richard Sherman just really wants to remind us that he's alive. Nobody at this point is questioning the 49ers. There were reasons to question them at the beginning of the year. I'm not saying that anyone thought they were terrible, but nobody had seen Garoppolo play all that much as a starter because he kept getting hurt. They'd brought in some other running backs who all got hurt, like Jerick McKinnon 2 years ago and then Tevin Coleman this year. So they got Breda and then Mostert. Kittle's great. Everyone knows that. The offensive lines look good. They've put a lot of draft picks into their front four. It's really paying off. They've got a great front four there. And just wanted to see him play against certain other teams and keep things rolling. And Sherman, who we don't remember, is on this team because he's not that great anymore. I mean, there was a period of like 3 years. You had to put him top three. Nothing worse than that. And probably one, depending. 5 years. I don't know if five. There's maybe five where you say, you know, sometimes it's like, well, Revis is better. Or maybe it's Patrick Peterson. You could have made those arguments. You really could have.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But you had to mention him. And he's not there anymore. He's never been fast. He was a guy who had good height, could play very physically, and he had good safeties backing him up so he could kind of play under and and make those picks and, you know, whatever. But he's not doing that in San Francisco.
He was the fourth most talented person in that Seattle backfield.
Yeah. And, you know, eventually they let him go, and he went to San Francisco. I heard somebody on the radio today. Maybe it was on Dan Patrick's show. I can't remember who it was. And they were saying, like, well, he took a lot of people giving a lot of grief over the fact that he negotiated his own contract. I was like, oh, I guess I forgot that, and I've never heard anybody mention that. So maybe they do. I don't care. Good on him. He's a smart guy. I'm sure he can negotiate his own contract. He knows what he wants out of things. So whatever.
Did you catch the bit about where he claimed that Baker Mayfield refused to shake his hand?
Yes.
During the pregame, and then video confirmed that, in fact, Baker Mayfield did shake his hand and put his hand on his shoulder and said something to him along the lines of, like, you're a great player or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, God, it's making me backpedal on things I said about Richard Sherman like 4 years ago when I was like,
you have to think of them as different people at this point, Aaron. I mean, like, at this point, he's somebody who's trying to tell you that he's still relevant, as opposed to a time when he was great and he could say whatever he wanted and he just kind of liked having the ability to do that. Now he's trying to remind you that he's on the team. And the weird one now is the, like, hey, if you didn't believe in 49ers before, you got to stick with that. I was like, man, don't tell me what I got to do. You want people to grow and change. It's just a weird thing to tell us we have to stick with not liking the 49ers for any reason. So who cares?
Right.
It's a weird thing he's doing now, and good for him. Also, everybody's trying to tear down Baker Mayfield now that you know, we built him up to be a Super Bowl hero already. He's a second-year quarterback. You know, whatever. He's going to have ups and downs. He's got good talent around him. They probably should be winning more games than they are, but whatever. Baker Mayfield's an interesting cat, and he's going to be interesting to watch for a couple years here, and we'll see what happens.
It's just like Minshew down in Jacksonville. You know, he came out hot, and now this on Sunday he stunk it up, and it's like, what do you expect? I mean, like, you throw these guys out there so young and expect them to do everything. I mean, the best quarterbacks in the league got to sit around and watch people for a while. I mean, between Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers, that should be a case study in and of itself.
There's Marino and Manning, though.
I know.
But one Manning. The other Manning had to sit for a couple games.
I was talking about two Hall of Famers. I mean, I guess it's countering my point, too. But how often do you throw some kid out there and he flames out? Let's look at David Carr. I mean, it's the same thing right there.
Yeah.
David Carr, in a different situation, had not been put into the place of being the starting quarterback of the expansion Houston Texans, would probably have been a Hall of Famer.
Could have been, I'm just saying it because somebody's going to say that if they hear you say that you have to sit. And like, well, not everybody does. But again, Peyton threw a ton of picks his first year, too.
I guess the counter argument to that would be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, who they brought in Matt Flynn to make him sit behind for a while. They decided that they couldn't not have Russ Wilson on the field, you know, and that's the counter argument to that. But you're also, when you counter argument that, your counter argument is the greats of all time. There's way more kids that got trotted out on the field way too early that flame out way too early than the outliers.
Yeah, like so, RG3 and stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, and that's a great one, too. Now, RG3 was really, really good for 9 games.
Yeah, for and one then, season, then, he was
and,
magic.
And then Shanahan ran him till his knees exploded.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's Kirk, who sat behind him.
And then Kirk Cousins became their quarterback after RG blew out his knees.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's an interesting point always. So, Just something to think about, and just, you know, before we start tearing everybody down.
Mike Shanahan was a terrible human being. Let's just leave
it. All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Another great week of victories here. Pretty soon, we will have Bucks things to talk about.
Undefeated
here too.
Bucks preseason. Yeah, welcome to the fray, Kyle Korver, by the way.
It should be a fun season for the Bucks. I'm looking very much forward to that. But again, great wins by the Packers and Badgers this week. Interesting wins, at least, by the Packers.
76 for the Bucks. they will win 70 games this year.
All right. Wherever you listen to us, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or iHeartRadio or whatever it is, please subscribe, download, listen, rate, review us, and share us. So that everybody else can start finding us and make sure that we can get this out to as many people as we can and get more people into the family on this. Also, you can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow Aaron back at Cheddar Talk again, back where he belongs.
Once again.
And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
The movie Clue is one of the best movies.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening.